If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Before we deal with the law of miscellaneous nature, which is the topic today, and inshallah in the upcoming episodes, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Sistani.
The grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Back to the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and our dear guest speaker, as always in the studio, sitting with me, Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on this program.
Welcome. Let's talk about some of the questions that require basically general and miscellaneous answers. Let me start with the concept of kosher. We all know that Muslims all across the globe need to eat a special kind of food which is sacrificed or killed in the way which has been, in fact, prescribed by Sharia laws, right?
Yeah.
And we also know that, you know, not everywhere can you find Muslims, right? There are some places which are very remote from other Muslim-dominated areas. So basically, we are, you know, sometimes finding a scarcity of foods, you know, based on the Sharia laws, right? Islamically speaking. So can Muslims suffice with kosher in this regard?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Well, there are some Muslims out there thinking that kosher must be halal because it comes from an animal that is slaughtered very much like in the way that Muslims slaughter the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So kosher is actually the meat of an animal, a halal animal,
mm-hmm.
That is slaughtered by a Jew. Okay.
Yes.
And reportedly, the Jews, in fact, slaughter the animals in the same way as we do. But
do they face it to Qibla?
No, that is not. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other problems as well, you know.
Right.
There are some Sunni sects or denominations saying that kosher is halal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they eat. But the Shia religious authorities say that kosher is absolutely forbidden.
Unanimously.
Unanimously, of course. Because it lacks certain requirements
mm-hmm.
that must be fulfilled while slaughtering an animal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important requirements is the fact that the person who slaughters the animal is not a Muslim. Okay, he is a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He does not believe in the Prophet of Islam, and obviously he does not. And then the other condition that is also missing is that he does not recite takbir.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a third condition which is not fulfilled, and that is that the animal is not slaughtered in the direction of Qibla. So these three main conditions are missing, and obviously kosher cannot be halal. Now there are some Muslims and even some Shia Muslims who are living in a Sunni setting saying that make the meat halal by just reciting takbir. Okay, the meat is there in the supermarket, it's on sale, and of course you can buy
obviously it. Obviously, it's a dead animal's meat, right?
Yeah, it is a dead, it comes from a dead animal. The animal has already been slaughtered by either mechanically
mm-hmm.
or maybe by hand, manually. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But some people are there who maintain that if you recite let's say Bismillah or Takbir or anything, or utter God's name,
yes,
then the meat becomes halal.
Right.
And the number of those people who believe as such is not, unfortunately, few and far between. There are many, many Muslims who believe that, such meat sold on the market can be made halal by reciting Bismillah. But that's not correct. This idea... Or may come from some Sunni minority group, okay? But we, the Shia Muslims, do not believe in such thing, okay? The meat must be halal, and in order for a Muslim to consume halal meat, he should make sure that, first of all, the meat, the animal is slaughtered by a Muslim, and then all the requirements should be met. There are certain requirements, of course, mm-hmm. which have been explained in the Manual of Islamic Laws, and all these requirements are essential, and
mm-hmm.
they must be fulfilled, otherwise the meat is not halal.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll discuss and continue this topic after the break. Stay with us.
The office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Back to the program, Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, and my guest is still Sheikh Javed in the studio. Sheikh Javed, you were talking about kosher and the status of, or jurisprudential status of kosher. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah. If you go to the West, to non-Muslim countries, of course, there are big stores, selling meat, and there is a tag on the meat, halal tag, okay?
Yes.
And this halal tag is everywhere. Halal meat is very expensive.
Yes.
It's not found everywhere, just as rightly mentioned, because of the paucity and the scarcity of halal meat. Halal meat is expensive. It's not available everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
So that's why some people, add or write the tag, the halal tag, to the meat, so that they can sell the meat for higher prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so now many people think, okay, this meat must be halal because there's a tag, halal tag, on the meat, and so
yes.
it can be consumed.
Right.
But is it really valid? The tag, does it suggest that the meat is really halal? No one knows, especially if the seller is non-Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he sells the meat either in a restaurant or in a store. Okay,
so what should a Muslim do?
Yeah.
Should a Muslim actually go about research?
So the religious authority says that the tag should not be taken for it should not be relied upon, because anybody can make use of the tag, halal tag, and sell his meat. Okay. The thing that a Muslim should do is that the first of all, he should make sure that the person who sells the meat is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this
if
is very
not,
important. And if he is not a Muslim, then according to the a widely accepted principle of jurisprudence, that meat is automatically treated as non-halal, even if that meat is the meat is said. Is said to be halal, but
yes.
since the seller is a non-Muslim, you cannot trust that person. You cannot trust that person, and you cannot buy it. So the meat, basically, according to the principle of jurisprudence, is treated as non-halal,
mm-hmm.
unless there are indications or there are signs indicating that the meat is halal. For example, if that person is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And that Muslim is not a carefree person, someone who's reckless, who's not very much, who's not a practicing Muslim. So,
yes.
And there's a big difference between a practicing Muslim and non-practicing Muslim. If a Muslim is a practicing Muslim, he offers prayers, he actually gives his zakat and does.
Sheikh Javed, when I go to a supermarket, I can't really do a research about how practicing or whether the salesperson is a practicing Muslim or not. Isn't it too difficult and demanding
for you? Okay, for you this criterion does not apply.
Mm-hmm.
This standard does not apply. So you as a guest, as someone who goes to who is new to a country,
yes.
cannot eat and consume meat. You should be careful. You should exercise precaution,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, unless the person is a reliable Muslim and he is, the face of that individual,
mm-hmm.
who is a Muslim, clearly suggests that
yes.
he is a kind of practicing Muslim,
yeah.
and a reliable person. Then you can buy the meat and consume it. Otherwise, you cannot you cannot eat that meat.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, contributing to the program Islamic Law on Arabi English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, signing off.
لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير.